girl, welcome to the Empower Her podcast, where we are all about taking purpose-driven action toward building lives we really freaking love. My name's Keisha, and I'm an entrepreneur obsessed with giving you actual tools to help take you from where you are now to where you want to go in your life, career, and relationships. And this podcast is all about real talk and having some fun as we share incredible stories, tips, and tricks to help us get out of our own way and unapologetically make some moves. So, girlfriend, let's do the damn thing. Girl, I am so excited that you're here for today's episode because we have on the show one of the OG queens of marketing, someone I have personally learned so much from in this space. And honestly, she has helped pave the way for so many podcasters and online business owners. And since so many of you told me that you have a goal this year to create another stream of income or build a side business or even build your existing business to the point that you could leave your full-time job, I knew I had to bring on someone that's one of the best in the space. Her name is Amy Porterfield. And let me just tell you, this episode is super juicy. If you have been in the online business space, you've probably heard of Amy. She's literally been in this space for 14 years. She's helped over 250,000 entrepreneurs through her online programs, courses, and she's the host of the top-rated podcast, Online Marketing Made Easy. She spoke on some of the most epic stages. She's been featured everywhere from Forbes and Entrepreneur to MSNBC. But more than what she's accomplished, I'm really excited for you to listen into this conversation because it is so value filled. We dig into a lot of different areas around mindset, but also very tactical business tips. And I think you're really going to gain a lot of clarity and the steps that you need to take to either start your business or take your business to the next level. And we talked about her brand new book. It's called 2 Weeks Notice: Find the Courage to Quit Your Job, Make More Money, Work Where You Want, and Change the World, which I know is something that you can get behind. So, safe to say, this episode is action-packed, and I think you're going to be aggressively nodding your head and just feel really pumped that you are capable of building the business and, more importantly, the life of your dreams. So, without further ado, let's dive right in. Amy, I am so excited to have you on the show. Welcome, girl.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
It's going to be such a beautiful conversation that I know so many women need to hear because we're going to talk about so many juicy topics. But I really want to start with this idea of the importance of having another stream of income, because I feel like COVID really took us for a curveball, and a lot of people are in this stage that listen into this podcast that they want to start something, but they're confused on what they want to start. Or maybe they've started something and they're kind of starting to recognize that it's not aligned, or they want to crank it the F up, right? Yeah. So why do you even think that someone should do this in the first place?
To this idea of starting the side hustle?
Yeah, or starting a business in general, if they're working a full-time job, because we'll get into your story, but like, why do you feel like it's important?
So I feel like it's important, especially for all the women listening, because it gives you this opportunity to design the business and the life on your terms.
Yeah.
So when I was still in a 9-to-5 job, and like many people can relate, my time was not my own. I was working for someone else, building someone else's dream or empire. And so everywhere I looked, I thought, I'm not in control of anything I'm doing right now. And so when you start making money on your terms, the way you want to make it, when you're calling the shots, being as creative as you want to be, going down any road you want to go down, you start to realize, wait, I have agency. I can literally create the life that I want and do with the money what I want to do with, whether it be to give it away or to build something amazing or to create legacy. So it's that idea of freedom and control that I think is so important for us women.
Yeah, it's interesting because there are a lot of women that are telling themselves the story that I once did, and I feel like your story will connect with this too, where on paper, everything made sense and it was good. But for me, it was this very like visceral feeling that I tried to shove down because it was so uncomfortable that I wanted more, not meaning that being an entrepreneur is more than working in the corporate world, but more in alignment and just more exciting for me, more fulfilling for me. So can you speak to the stage that you were in when you first got into the online space? Because
Amy, I have listened to so many of your podcasts and so many women listening into the show have learned so much from you. You have literally paved the way for so many women in this space, but how you started, people might not expect. So can you tell us about kind of the meeting that you were sitting in on where you're like, maybe I want to start my own business. Like, what did that look like?
Yes. Yeah, so when I was still working my 9-to-5 job, I worked for Tony Robbins and I had been there for almost 7 years and I was director of content development. And like you just said, like on paper, all of that looked amazing. I got paid well. I traveled. I worked with Tony. Like it was incredible. However, at one point, Tony had this meeting where he brought in a bunch of online business owners. They were all men. They sat at this big oak table. I was called in to take notes. It's very humbling. I wasn't even invited to the main table, but here I was on the side table taking notes. And Tony went around and said, okay, tell me about your businesses, what you're doing. And these guys were in all different arenas, like real estate, investing, financial planning, relationship building. It was all this different industries, but they all had digital courses, memberships, masterminds, products, all those things. And so they went around the table to talk about their businesses. And all I heard from their stories was freedom. They were working when they wanted, where they wanted, how they wanted. They were building amazing wealth and impact, and they were doing it on their terms. They were relaxed. They were excited. They were happy. And they all had freedom. And in that moment, I probably took the worst notes of my life because my ears perked up and I thought, I don't know what you guys are doing. I didn't know anything about that world, but I thought, I have never been totally free. And so I've always had a boss since my, you know, I've never been on my own. And for a moment, like in that moment, I mean, I wanted it and I didn't know how I was going to get it. And I had no idea what I would do to start my own business. I didn't think I had any skill that would translate into my own business, but I figured I had to find out because I wanted it bad.
And at first, was it like when that feeling came up, because I'm sure a lot of women can connect with that feeling, whether it's been, you know, being in your situation, you worked at a company and with someone that like one of the best in the industry, like a very good, almost like a golden handcuff situation, right?
Absolutely.
But then it's like, there are some women that have had that moment because they have a crappy boss or they have no career trajectory or they want to do something else. But as soon as that feeling comes up, they immediately shove it down because... Yeah. You know, they're afraid of a lot of things that we can dive into. And obviously your new book is all about. But like, what did that feeling feel like for you? Where it's like, you're sitting at this table, you've got this feeling, I think I could do this. I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but I could probably figure this out if I tried. Did you want to shove it down or did you take immediate action? What was it like?
I wanted to shove it down. Like, no way, who am I to be my own boss? I could never do that. Yeah. And that's why I focus so much on, I have no skill set that would create a business because I was so scared that I was looking for evidence that this was a really bad idea, even though I wanted it really bad. And it reminds me, I just saw a review of my book and this woman's in her 50s and she said, I got laid off from my job. And in that moment, I realized I don't want another job. I've always wanted my own business, but it was the scariest dream I had. And when she wrote scariest dream, I thought, yeah, that's what it is. It's very, very scary. Mm-hmm. But in that moment, I got very clear of why I wanted to be my own boss. I did not want anyone telling me what to do, when to do it, or how to do it anymore. I didn't want anyone dependent on or responsible for how much money I could potentially make. I had absolutely hit that glass ceiling. Mm-hmm. So what I did is I got clear on why I wanted it. My why became crystal clear. So when my worries and the scary dream would just like knock me down, like I can't do this, my why would pick me back up. So that's the first thing I teach in my book is let's get very clear on what you want and why you want it.
Yes. Oh, we actually had a podcast episode recently where I talked about how we have to get rid of these like pageant whys. Like, I want to help people.
Yes,
it sounds so good. Like, I want to make an impact. I want to inspire. And it's like, yeah, me too. But what else? Because that's not compelling enough to get you to show up because you like in your situation, you're working with Tony freaking Robbins, and then you're having this idea of, I want to start a business, and you're not Amy Porterfield that we know today with all of the pivots and things that you've done. Like, you're not this version of you. So it's like, for anyone listening in that knows you now, it's like, you're this person who the only thing that you knew back then was how to be a really good employee.
Yes.
So what was like, because a lot of people struggle with the first step. So maybe they've captured the vision and obviously they can learn a lot more of like the nitty gritty of how to really get a deep why, because I totally agree with you. If you don't have a why, life throws you a curveball and it's the, you know, your side business is the first thing that goes because it's the last thing that was added to your already full plate, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So how, like, I guess from that point of wanting to start your own business, like, what did you even do? Because one of the most common questions I get is, Kaish, like, what in the world is my thing? How do I figure out what I'm even passionate about? I want to start a business, but, like, I don't know what I want to do, right? How do they start that?
Okay, I love that you bring this up because I didn't know at the time, but I was taking myself through a sweet spot formula, essentially. Yeah. And so I developed it after the fact in looking at what I did. So in that moment, I thought, I do not want a job anymore. I do want to be my own boss. It was very crystal clear in that moment. And I love that you said, not a pageant why. This is so good because I say in the book, be selfish. Make it about you in the beginning so you'll stick to it. So mine was not altruistic or really big. It was just, I didn't want a boss. I didn't want to be told what to do. So I was starting there. Then I started to think, okay, I don't know what I would do, but I've got to figure this out. And so the first thing I did is I asked myself, what am I good at, both professionally and personally? What do people ask me about all the time? Like, why does that come so natural to you? Or how did you do that? What am I good at in my job that could translate maybe into me doing that kind of work on my own? So I kind of took inventory. Where have I gotten results? What do people think I'm good at? I started asking friends and family, what do you think I should do, knowing you know me and what I'm good at? So I got some feedback. So that was the first thing. Look, everybody is good at multiple things, both professionally and personally. So you got to get, don't be humble here, like get right to it.
Yeah.
The second part of, there's four parts of the sweet spot. The second part is, who do you want to serve? Who would you love to help? And it's good to get clear about that because the next question there is, well, what are they struggling with? And is it aligned with what you're good at? And usually the answer is going to be yes. And if not, we got to kind of do some realignment there. But when I started to think, I want to help people with their social media that have no clue in the beginning, that's what I used to do, who have no clue what they're doing, I'd ask, okay, so what are their struggles? And they have so many struggles. Back 14 years ago, it was the Wild West. So do I have skills that could help that? I absolutely did. The third part of this is, where are people spending money? So when you start to think about what you might do for a business, are there books about it, podcasts about it, digital courses about the topic? Do people pay someone for consulting or coaching in that area? And if the answer is yes, that's a great validation. Now, what happens in this section is people will say, but Amy, if it's already been done before, there's no room for
it. I was literally just thinking that's the first thought that comes up for people, right?
All the time. I'm going to fully flip that on its head. If it's already being done before, if somebody is doing it well, jackpot, because you know there's money here or they would not continue to do it. There are over 7 billion people in this world. There's absolutely room for you. And here's the thing. You need a tiny sliver of the internet to pay attention to make money. A tiny sliver.
Oh, it's so true. And I really love that you say that because I've helped a lot of women in the podcasting space start and launch and grow their shows. And so often they're like, Kaish, but there's so many podcasts out there. But I'm like, your take on it. First of all, there's a lot of podcasts, but how many are actually consistent? How many have released an episode in the last 90 days or more than 10 episodes? 27% of total podcasts. So it's like, it's so rare to be consistent at it. But at the same time, it's like, nobody's done it your way with your angle. And I love that you break it down because people do need to, yes, have confidence and belief in themselves. And even to the point of your book, like courage, but also it's like, you do need to go through steps so you can kind of recognize like, where is this area that I'm most excited to serve people with? Because I know how to do some things that I don't want to teach because it would make me want to take a fork and shove it deeply in my eyeball.
Amen.
Right? And I also would love if you could just speak to real quick the permission to pivot because you mentioned, you know, you started teaching social media like in the wild, wild west of 20, whatever, how long ago that was.
Right.
And now what you're doing is completely different than that. And there are some women right now that they have a business that they've been doing on the side. They know that it's no longer aligned for them. If they go through your framework in your book, they're going to get a lot more clarity on what's aligned for them and how they should move forward. But even if they know it, they're still scared because they're telling themselves, this is what I'm known for, or this is what I've always done. I can't possibly change my mind.
Oh,
what do you say to that?
Okay. So that actually, you just set me up perfectly because the fourth part of this sweet spot is what lights you up. Now, notice I didn't say what's your life's purpose because that will totally throw most people off.
So much pressure.
So much pressure. Just what lights you up? What do you enjoy? Now, at the time, I enjoyed teaching social media and doing social media for small businesses. So that's what I chose to kind of push me out into the world. Now, about 2 years into that, I hated it. I did not want to do social media for small businesses. I did not like doing one-on-one client work, and it was not for me. And that's where my big pivot happened. And so, yes, when you put yourself out there, the way you start your business is likely going to dramatically change in just a few short years. Action creates clarity. You'll get the clarity of where you need to go, but you have to start with something. So I just started with what I knew and what I was good at. I use air quotes. I don't think I was exceptional at it. I was good enough. And at the time, no one knew what they were doing. So I just went out there and did it for people. Yes. And so 2 years in, I hated it. And I thought, I have to make a pivot because this is not the business I wanted. And I was wrong about this. And so what I did is I started making digital courses and started playing in that arena, which led me to what I do now. However, if I told myself, no, I started this, I've got to finish this, this is my end all be all, I wouldn't have a multi-million dollar business today sitting here with you. So my motto is, it's never too late to become the person you want to be and build the kind of business you want to build. Never too late. That means it's okay to pivot. As long as you're not every single week changing your idea or going for the next shiny thing, we all know the difference, but you're saying, you know what, this isn't it, but I'm moving in the right direction. I'm going to make a pivot. Do it. Because it was the best decision I ever made. And I work with a lot of women in all different ages. And I love when I see a woman in her 40s, 50s, 60s making a pivot, because I think that's absolute badassery when you're like, it's never too late. I'm going to go after what I want.
Ugh. Yes to that, because it's never too late and it's never too early, right? Like, some people are getting caught up in like, I'm 22 years old. This is the vision that I have. Freaking go for it. Can you imagine? Like, if you would have started this at 22, I had a woman message me this morning that's 17 that listens to my podcast, and she's binged every single 452 episodes. She's listened to every single episode. I was like, if I would have listened to podcasts when I was 17, I don't even know where I would be now. Like,
president of the United States.
Literally. It's wild. So, okay, Amy, I really feel like there's a lot of women that will connect with the feeling that you might have felt with starting a business when you used to work for Tony Robbins. And why I'm saying it in that way is because so many of us are like, but who am I to start that thing? But you did this while working for one of the leading experts in this space, and you also created a business kind of, I mean, obviously different, but in this personal development online business space after working for someone like that. So that took a lot of courage to do that. Can you walk us through how you help women and men that are looking to make a change, that feel a little bit of that, you know, the common term for this is like imposter syndrome that comes up of like, who am I to do this thing? I'm going to do it anyway.
Yes. Okay. So when I went out on my own, I was terrified to put out videos, to show up. And the only reason I was so scared is I thought, what will my old coworkers think? And what will Tony Robbins think? Like, when I put a video up there teaching social media, what are they all going to think? And my sweet, sweet husband one day said, babe, I hate to break it to you, but they don't care. Like, everyone is doing their own thing, focused on their own lives. Tony Robbins is doing important work. He really doesn't have time to watch your YouTube video. It doesn't matter. And so it was like his sweet way of saying, like, let's just do this anyway. And then my good friend Jasmine Starr, she says, if they're not paying the bills, they don't get an opinion. Yeah. And that was a lesson I had learned early on as well. And so you will play small in your life and in the business you want to create until you stop worrying about what other people will say or think about you. Because here's the headline. They will say mean things about you. Yeah. They will have opinions about you. They, meaning whoever, strangers on the internet or even your friends, they will have some negative feelings sometimes. And it is a direct reflection of how they feel about themselves. When I'm envious about somebody else, when I say something not so nice about a peer or And I hate that I'd admit that I would, but we all do at times.
Yeah, we're humans.
We're humans. It is my desire that they have something that I want. And so when they say this stuff, it's because you're going out there doing the brave things that they do not have the courage to do just yet. You have to look at it for what it's worth. So what I did when I went on my own and absolutely felt like I was not qualified to do so, I kept coming back to, but I do not want a boss, so I better figure this out. And I kept coming back to my why. So when I talk to my students, I remind them, if they're not paying the bills, they don't get an opinion. Number two, they're probably not paying attention to what you think. as much as you think they are. Yeah. Three, any negative feelings they have about you are a reflection of themselves. And four, stop playing small, get out there and do it anyway. Because the world needs you. Like, I do believe the fact that the world needs that special thing. Marie Forleo says it all the time, that only you can offer. I believe that with all my heart.
Yeah. You are literally like a bumper. Like, everything you say is like a bumper sticker. Like, this could be so great. This could be a title of a book. And one thing that you just mentioned that stuck with me was they don't have the courage to chase that yet. And the word that you said was yet. And why I love that is because what sometimes I think we forget is that we're a source of inspiration simply by how we show up and chase our own dreams for other people who need to borrow belief that if she can do it, then I sure as hell can too, in whatever way that that is. And that's such a driver for me in business, is like, I want to do this like in a not so perfect way. Sometimes I make up words, like when I'm speaking on stage, I'm like, what the hell did I just say? But because I want to give people the permission slip that they really have to give to themselves. And I think that you've done that and you've carved that in your career. So what I want to know from a personal note, but I also think a lot of listeners will want to know this too, is like, what keeps your fire going? Because you have gone from good to great. And now what's going to make you go to that next level? Like, what made you decide you wanted to write a book and that you want to take this even to the higher level than you've already achieved?
Okay, I love that you asked this, because when I was saying my why in the beginning was super selfish and just about me, because I knew that was going to push me.
Yeah.
When you start to see success, and everyone, if you stick with it, you will. When you start to see success, your why begins to change. And it's less usually about you and more about these people that you are serving. Whether you have 100 people on your email list or 100,000, you realize, wait a second, I actually can make an impact. I'm seeing it happen. And so now for me, having a multi-million dollar business, tons of students, a beautiful team, I'm so blessed. Yeah. Why do I keep pushing forward? Why do I write a book? Why do I want to go for a $50 million business? And it's not necessarily that I need more money or more clout. It's because I know there is a woman in a cubicle right now where she is sitting there thinking, this cannot be it. This cannot be the rest of my life. She looks at her boss and thinks, I don't want their job. So what am I doing staying here? And so every day I think about the women that I serve, and I know that I am on a mission to reach as many as I can. And the book was like my way of saying, this is the cheapest way for you to get into my world, the easiest way, so I can guide you. I feel as though it is my mission to guide women to create their own businesses, to create their own freedom. So it was my why that shifted. And I think that's such a beautiful thing when you stick with it.
Yes. And you could hear the conviction in your voice for that. And to the woman listening into this, it's like, we got to figure out what that is that you have enough conviction. The way that you just deliver that, I'm like, oh, she means this. Like, in your bones, it's like visceral, which is going to keep you showing up when Sally Sue 293 on Instagram is like, oh, Amy Porterfield sucks, or like, you know, your aunt doesn't get your business or whatever. You know, a lot of the things, especially that happen at the beginning.
Yes.
And, you know, I actually do want to speak to the beginning stage of building a business, because obviously you're Amy Porterfield with Amy Porterfield's big team and business now. But when you're just getting started, how do you recommend that people take the first step after they've gotten clarity around, you know, maybe the problem that they want to solve and like they've got the idea? Now, like, what do they do first from your perspective?
Okay. So let's assume, are we assuming they already left their 9-to-5 job?
Let's assume they're doing this on the side, actually. Can we?
Okay, cool.
Let's start there. Yeah.
Even better. Okay. So in my book, 2 Weeks Notice, one of the things I do in the very beginning is build out a roadmap for, or a runway for my readers if they need help quitting their job.
Yeah.
When to choose the date to leave and how you choose that date. How do you stay committed to that date? What research and work do you need to do from the time you actually decide to leave to when you do leave? So I've got this whole runway. We look at your finances. We look at your why, everything. But once you've done the runway work, so you know, okay, I'm leaving my job on this date, maybe it's 6 months from now, but you have a side hustle and you're thinking, how do I even get this out into the world? And once you come up with an idea, again, you're not going to know if it's a perfect idea. You're not going to know if it's going to work, but you're going to come up with an idea and you're going to take action, because action creates clarity. Yes. Once you realize, okay, I need to take some action, the first thing I would do is start to create content. Content is everything. Mm-hmm. And when I say create content, I remember back in the day, I didn't even understand what that word meant. So I just want to be clear. I'm talking about telling your story on social media, tips, quotes, advice, insight that you're going to start sharing. And the best place to share it, because most of us start with zero, is social media. So in the beginning, you're sharing to 10 people on Instagram, but in the next few weeks, you already hit 100 and it's starting to feel good. Or maybe you're just sharing with your friends and family, but now you're starting to build some traction. It's consistently sharing content that's going to bring people into your world. That is the first thing that I would do.
Mm-hmm. And do you recommend that they, because sometimes I get feedback from people that are like, Keisha, I'm going to start LinkedIn, Pinterest, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, I'm going to start a podcast and I'm going to write a book. And I also have 2 kids under 5. And I'm like, what?
Yes, exactly.
So where would you recommend they start with like one platform or what do you think?
One platform. I actually talk about this in my book. Over time, you'll want to add more, of course.
Yeah.
But just start with one. So one of the easiest ones is Instagram. Instagram, you can do so many things. Most people are on it. So start with Instagram and just really understand the platform. How do you make a reel? What's actually trending? When do you post a picture over a video? All of that. Just get really good at it because you're not going to hire someone to do it for you in the beginning. And let's just really let's give ourselves good 3 months to just be consistent. And that word keeps coming up a lot. Like if I were to tattoo a word on my body that kind of exhibits why I'm successful, I would say it's the word consistent, because most of us won't be, and I'm not perfect at it, but dang, when I started, like you can relate to this, when I started to post every single week on my podcast, that was a whole different experience than in my first 2 years where I was doing it like once a month.
Yeah.
So it's like that consistency in everything I did, it's how I beat out my competition.
Yeah. Do you think that it came from, because I've thought a lot about this with podcasting, doing 2 episodes a week for 4 years now.
Wow.
That it's like, not only does that give you credibility, but it gives me so much confidence because I've just kept a promise to myself every single time that I've done it, right? Like it's that simple, but it's also that complicated, you know, because like a lot of people do struggle with this consistency element. Like, why do you feel like people struggle with consistency so much?
Because I think we put everything else in front of building our businesses when we're doing it as a side hustle. So I think consistency is a challenge when you're like, I've got 2 kids at home, I have a full-time job, I've got a spouse to take care of, and my life is chaotic. How can I ever spend time on building a business? And I hate that I have to say it this way, but I mean it to my gut. How bad do you want it?
Yeah.
How bad do you want it? Because I can't make it totally easy for you, but I can say, I can teach you how to make it a priority. And the way you make business building a priority is you get a plan together, which is what I map out completely in my book. It's a plan that you kind of chisel away at. You might only have 2 to 3 hours a week in the beginning, but at least you're chiseling out that time and making it happen where you're, someone next to you is probably not doing any of that.
I don't know if you could connect with this, but I feel like you might. When I find a company or a brand that I just love because I can trust their standards, like high quality standards, it just makes my life so much easier. And that's why you're going to hear me talk often about Organifi, because I care about my health, but I'm also juggling a lot. I know you probably are. So you value convenience like I do, and you just want the guesswork out of it. Well, Organifi, if you're not familiar, is a company that has supplements, organic superfood blends, and plant-based nutrition. And it's the ultimate trifecta. As in high quality ingredients, everything is organic in their entire line, hence the name Organifi, and low sugar, nothing has more than 3 grams of sugar, which is super rare, especially with proteins. I love their protein. They have both chocolate and vanilla, and it's a really good consistency and texture and taste. But also, it has only 3 grams of sugar, which if you're drinking a protein right now and you flip around your bag of protein, you check the sugar and you're gonna be like, what in the world? It's such a sneaky way that companies add in sugar that we don't even need. Anyway, high quality ingredients, everything organic. And then on top of that, it tastes really good. Like the flavor is good. In particular, their green juice is what really sold me, because I have tried a lot of green juices in my day. And not only are they really freaking expensive if you buy them in the store, but they don't taste good. And I like this green juice where I'll blend it in with my protein in the morning, or I'll just stir it in with water and drink it solo, because it actually tastes that good. I don't want to plug my nose and like choke down a green juice and like take shots like I'm in college at a frat party. I'm not doing that again. Anyway, I love that it tastes good. And then on top of that, it's at a really great price point for such high quality products. And you can just count on them. So if you have not yet checked out Organifi, I will recommend their protein. Both chocolate and vanilla are phenomenal. Their green juice, top notch. They have what's called Organifi Pure, which is a caffeine-free little productivity boost. It helps you focus. It is based off of this concept of working with the neuroprotein BDNF, and that's connected with your memory and learning. It help literally this Organifi Pure helps you wire new brain connections. And I love feeling alert, and I'll use all the connections I can get. And I love that it's caffeine free, so you can have it if you have like a weird 3 p.m. slump, but you still want to sleep really well at night. Organifi Pure. And then finally, their chocolate gold. It's like a yummy, healthy hot chocolate that calms your nervous system. It tastes so freaking good. I love cuddling up, especially because it's snowy here in Colorado, and it's just a whole vibe. So anyway, their protein, they're pure, they're green juice, and they're chocolate gold. Those are my favorites. There are other products. If you have any questions, you know where to find me. Slide into my DMs, text me, all the things. But you can head to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com/Kacia, K-A-C-I-A. And code Kacia gets you 20% off any item in their store. So let me know what you check out. And without further ado, let's dive back into the show.
So yeah. We're putting way too much pressure on ourselves, saying it needs to look a certain way, and it could be absolutely messy, but still very consistent.
Yes. It's interesting because I remember early on making the commitment to just be consistent, even if it was wrong. And I would post stuff that like one time I had the wrong there on something, and it was like quote thing, and that's a big pet peeve. And someone told me, and I was like, you know what? The promise that I made to myself was that I was going to do it. Not that it was going to be great,
but that
I was going to show up, right? And I think sometimes, you know, these perfectionist tendencies come up for a lot of, especially women. It just comes up more for women. I don't know why. It just really does. Yeah. And like these underlying people-pleasing tendencies, or this like deep-rooted fear of being seen. And I would love if you could just in an Amy way, just speak to that. Cause you know, that fear is so common for people. Like, I'm afraid to be seen, or absolutely, I'm afraid that people are going to say that I'm not perfect, or I'm afraid that I'm going to upset somebody else if I do this thing. Right. It's kind of three questions in one, but like, can you speak to that woman? Cause that's a big struggle for women in this community.
I believe that all of those come down to, I am not worthy. And this is something I can speak to very personally, because I really did feel I wasn't worthy of success, or I wasn't good enough. I wasn't smart enough. I didn't have that charisma. I just didn't have it. And I believed this. And some people will say, well, if you believe that, then how are you where you are today? And it still came back to, I believed it, but my why was this much bigger than all those limiting beliefs that I had. Just a tiny bit bigger. I didn't want a boss. I didn't want to be told what to do, when to do it, or how to do it. I didn't want to be on someone else's time or someone else's dime. I knew that to my core. And so when all those doubts came coming in, when I really did not think I was good enough, I just would say then, but I'm going to just do it anyway. Just like you said, I'm just going to do it anyway. It's not going to be perfect. This imperfect action is everything. Yeah. But I do want to spend a moment. 80% of entrepreneurship in my mind is mindset, managing your mindset. And one of the things that I still do 14 years in, I still have a therapist, I still have a coach, I still listen to self-help and inspiring podcasts and read all the books. Mm-hmm. I have to manage my mindset because every day I could feel not worthy enough, even with all my success. It's just who I am. And so you have to do the work to protect your mind, almost more important than the funnels, email lists, business building, all of that.
Yeah. It's so important for people to hear that, because it's really easy to look at someone that's at a certain stage in their business and tell yourself a story that they have something that you don't. When in reality, you said 14, like, I hope everyone like back 30 this, 14 years. Like when you've put in 14 years of reps at something, like I believe that if anyone puts in 14 years of reps at something and they're consistent, like they can be great at whatever they decide to be great at.
Yes.
But it's like this decision that you made early on, and the way that you speak about it, like I can physically just like feel the energy of the conviction of like, it was a choice for you. And I guess how, like, to the woman that is struggling with making that decision, right? So she's got the idea and she's like, okay, I really want to do this. I'm trying to really tap into this worthiness. But the biggest problem for her is someone close to her is chirping in her ear.
Yes.
It's maybe her husband or wife, or it's a best friend, or it's a sister, or, you know, it's like that person that's like down the street that's like, my friend started a business like that and it never worked out for her. I'm like, I don't even know your friend. But truly, like, that chirping in the ear. here. How do you feel like people can manage that if that feels like the biggest roadblock for them right now?
This is a big one. This is a big one. Yeah. So Sarah Blakely of Spanx once said that when she first cut the feet out of her pantyhose and had the first prototype of her product, she didn't tell anyone because she knew the first person that told her why her business wouldn't work, she was so vulnerable and raw in the moment, she would have absolutely believed them. So I always say that not everybody deserves to hear your dreams. And in the beginning, this is a full chapter in my book. It's page 27, I think, because I just looked at it earlier today. Is this thing about who you tell and who you don't tell. And also, in the book, I wrote scripts to how to talk to the people that you know probably will not support your decision, but you need to let them know, which leads
Hold, please, Amy. Yes. Scripts, that's like scripts. So valuable. Right? So I have people that DM me that are like, Keisha, what should I say in this conversation? I'm like, I don't know, but like you're giving people scripts to. Okay, sorry.
Yes, and I had to. That's so beautiful. I love that you picked up on that. I had to because this is the one thing that a lot of women will not start a full-fledged business because someone in their life does not support them or believe in them. And sometimes that is your spouse. And that's when it's the hardest. I was very blessed with a husband who thought I could land on the moon. So like he supported me from day one. He also knew I was working my life away and I was never present. So he wanted something different.
Yeah.
But there are some spouses out there that say, please don't do that. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom. Please don't leave your kids like that. Someone needs to be home with our kids. Who's going to do it? You're the best person. Or you have a 9-to-5 job. Please don't do that. We need the money right now. That is crazy. And so what you need to do is you need to really have honest, open, heartfelt conversations with the people that matter most if they do not support you, letting them know why it's so important. And there needs to be a compromise that what's not going to happen is you don't follow your dreams. Like it's controversial for me to say, do it anyway, even if your spouse doesn't believe in you. I believe that. But I know some people are like, whoa, Amy, I'm not going to do something that my husband doesn't support. Well, we're going to need to get him on board. And the way we do that is one, with these hard conversations where I have scripts for. But number two, there might be a compromise. Maybe you start out with a side hustle. You're staying in your 9-to-5 job. Mm-hmm. You're starting with a side hustle. I have a student. Her name is Rachel. She's a pharmacist, has been a pharmacist for many, many years because it's the job her parents wanted her to have.
Yeah.
But she was not happy, especially after COVID. She's like, I am out. So she started a side hustle and she bought real estate and turned it into luxury Airbnb property. That was her love, her passion. She did it on the side. Her husband's like, What are you doing? Like, this is not going to sustain you. And she said, watch me. And so when the side business started making more than her pharmacist job, he's like, oh, maybe this is working. Just had to prove it to him. And then she quit. And she had made $300,000 in 2022 with the side hustle that became a full-time thing. And she had a great job. She just hated it. It's okay to hate a great job. But anyway.
To that though, Amy, it's okay to hate a great job. My husband was a dentist and he left to get into real estate investing.
Great job.
Like, you're preaching to the choir here. But it's like so many people are telling themselves the story of like, it's so good. I feel guilty that I want more.
Yes. Right?
And I mean, how do you speak to that?
Well, the first thing I'll say is life's too short to be showing up every day. I don't care what you're doing, how much they're paying you. If you do not feel love in your heart and joy for what you do, do not waste another minute. Get a plan to get out of that. I don't care what it is. The other thing is that one day that could be taken away from you. You could be laid off. You could be fired. One of my students was fired, but she had a side hustle doing photography. And when she was fired, she's like, this is my sign to go full-time with my side hustle, where she could have been like, my life is over. I just got fired from a job that made a lot of money. So what I'll say is you do not have any guarantee in your 9-to-5 job, whether you like it or don't like it, there's no guarantee. Why not at least start something so no matter what happens, you always have a security net? And some of you who hate your job, but it's a great job, let's just start a side hustle because one day you're going to get the courage to say, screw this, I'm out.
Yes. Oh, such a gift to give to, like, I just love, you can feel that you're in the flow right now too. You're just like, and then do this, like you can do this. I believe in you.
And that's something I never got to really talk about before. I've done many, many interviews about this book, but no one talks about the jobs you think you should love. Or you feel guilty that you're not grateful that you have it. You don't have to be grateful for anything if it's not bringing you joy.
that it's so important to speak to that, because that was my husband's conversation. He's Persian. So his parents were like, be a doctor, dentist, or lawyer, or you're dead to us. Yes. So he went and became a dentist. And I could tell that he didn't love it right away. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Quit. Like, and we were fortunate. Like, this Great is the life. Other thing I just want to touch on is like, you building your business, for someone listening into this, you don't know what doors you're opening for a future version of you, but also for someone that you love. Yeah. Because I had built this business that I started in 2014, my husband was able to leave as a dentist because he knew that he could. And okay. I didn't know that back then when I was building this business on the side of like working at Google and he was at dental school. But I think it's really important. And I love that you speak to that side aspect too, because truth of the matter, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, Amy, is like, some people are intimidated by even the verbiage building a business, because they think that it means like they have to have they need to know their email funnel and they have to have like a director of HR and they have to have like 50 employees. And like, maybe that is the dream that you have on your heart, which is amazing. But you're speaking to also like do something on the side to have another stream of income into your life, so you have optionality. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is, the reason I love that I got to write a book to say how to start a business, it's how to start an online business specifically in what I'm doing. And because I did that, because you do not need to have huge overhead. You do not need a fully fleshed out business plan. I don't even know what one looks like. You do not need to have a bunch of money. You do not need to build a big team. I didn't have anyone supporting me for an entire year. And then my first hire was a 5-hour a week virtual assistant, paying her $18 because I needed help, but I didn't even know if I could afford her. So you can start out so slowly and simply and don't need to make it a full-time thing. And I love that you said building a business even like is daunting. I couldn't say the word entrepreneur. I think it took me 5 years to say I'm an entrepreneur, because that word felt really fancy and not me. And so let's just put it in perspective. You're looking for a way to bring in additional revenue that one day might become your full-time thing, but you don't even need to make that decision yet. Yeah. I wrote this book not to say, here's how to start a side hustle. But when I started to talk about it over the last year, I realized everything I teach in the book could be a side hustle or a full-time thing. So it works for both.
Well, and it's also even just like the skills to understand yourself better and what you actually want with your one shot here. Because like, yes, we're talking about business and we're talking about side hustles, or we're talking about building this like massive business, like whatever dreams that you have in your heart, that's great for you. But it's like, also, I feel like this is going to be a valuable book for people that just want to gain more self-awareness, because they're asking themselves like, what the hell do I even want with my life here? Right?
Absolutely.
Because of the tactical nature. And like, that's what I really love, is you're more tactical than me. And I think that's very necessary for people that are like, okay, here's the first step. Let's not get caught up in like step 1 through 20, but let's start with 1. And then you're going to move to 2. And it's like, there's so much framework that you've put into this book that I think is going to be so, so helpful. And one thing I do want to ask you about, and then I want to talk a little bit more about the book itself, is to the woman who, because we know that we teach people how to treat us, but there is this problem that I see often with podcasters, with business owners that say like, oh, it's just this like little thing, because they're doing it on the side when they start often. Oh, it's just this like little, like, you know, I have this like little online business. Like, I've had people that have said that to me that are making like multiple six figures and they're still calling it that. And I'm like, what? What? Like, can you speak to the necessity to like own your own worth and respect yourself by talking about your business in a positive way? Just some Amy-isms on that.
Amen to that. I want to go back to something you said earlier that it really hit home with me. When you show up and you own it, I've got a business. I'm making multiple six figures. I'm running the show, and you really own it. What you're doing is you're giving permission to other women to do the same.
Yeah.
And so many women that are listening, they're called to impact others and serve others. And so that is the way you do it. You show up as your best self and confident in all you do. And even when maybe some days you don't feel like it, but you show up and say, I'm going to own it anyway. Yeah. And so I really do think that when we give ourselves permission to stand in our power and do what we believe we want to do that's best for us, we are literally paving a way for so many others. But also you could look at it selfishly. Why is it okay for a man to stand up here and talk about all his accomplishments, name drop left and right, and talk about all the money he makes? And that is normal. But when a woman does it, we're being braggy or like pushy or whatever. It's BS. And so I want us more to show up like the men are showing up and just take up our space. Mm-hmm. And listen, I wasn't the girl that always did it either. I mean, you look at me 5 or 6 years ago and I really wasn't doing that. I was way more humble because I didn't want to look like I was braggy or whatever that might be. But then I realized me playing small doesn't serve anybody, not myself, not my family, or not my students. So it's true. Like you have to get clear on why you want to own it. And I want to own it so other women will as well.
Oh, mic freaking drop. Yes, that's exactly what it is. The funny thing is, I remember when my husband was in dental school and I had a business and it was making about 250 grand a year at that time. And someone said to me, if my business doesn't work out, I could always be his assistant. And I, when we were at a party and my husband walked up next to me and he had a beer in his hand, and he literally like spit his beer up into his cup and then started like saying some stuff to the guy while I was standing there, where I was like, that would never happen.
No.
If like that would have never been, if I was going to be the dentist, they would have never said that to him. Like that's wild.
Never.
So thank you, Amy, for because your impact is so massive too with what you've done with your podcast and now this book and with your programs and with all of your students, like you really have paved the way for so many people. And to the woman listening into this too, you're doing that. If you look at Amy or me or someone else in this space and you admire that person, please don't forget that someone's watching you, admiring you too. So we all need to do this.
Okay.
You know?
Amen to that. I love that you said that. And it reminded me of a quick story. So do you know Brooke Castillo of the Life Coach School?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. She publicly tells a story. So I want to kind of retell it real quick. So years and years and years ago, she listened to my podcast and it happened to be an episode where I shared that I hit $1 million in my business. And I was really excited about it. And I think I was talking about how I got there. And so at the time she was making $350,000 in her own business. And she listened to that and she's like, wait, what? I can make $1 million in my business? Like I could do $1 million?
Wow.
And so in that moment, she realized if Amy can do it, so can I, which I love. And so why not? And so she set out to make $1 million. Last year, she made $50 million in her business, which is more than I make. So here she has fully surpassed me, which I freaking love for her. Mm-hmm. And but if I didn't share that, what if she didn't realize what was possible for her?
Yes.
Now, at the time, I wasn't sharing it for that reason. I didn't know there would be a trickle effect. But what if you do create a trickle effect for someone? That's pretty magical. I feel very honored that I got to be a tiny bit of her story. So you just never know. So share it. Brag about it. Tell people that you're a badass because it's going to inspire another woman to do the same.
Oh, and it's not even a trickle effect. It's like a damn tidal wave.
Right.
Right. Because it's not just that person, but then it's everybody around them that gets to see them lit up and excited. And it's like so many people, especially in the online space, get caught up in these vanity metrics. Like only 50 people liked this post. Picture 50 people in the room with you.
Yes.
And then the impact that those people have, you know? So I love that. Okay. I want to talk about the book, but I have to ask you real quick. Can you give a cup, because you are literally the queen of building an email list. And like, can you give a couple of quick tips, or obviously we'll make sure that people will drive to your podcast because you talk a lot about this and have a lot of cool programs for people, but quick tips on building an email list and why people, because there are some women that are listening into this right now. They're like, I'll get to that someday, someday, someday. And it's been like 5 years. I'll just tell you that I'm one of those people that didn't focus on it for a long time.
Same.
Why do it and how?
Okay. So first of all, I'm going to tell you this. 99% of the people that are listening to what I'm going to say next will not take action on it right away. And they will regret that they did not take action on it. So I'm going to put a challenge out to a few women out there that take it, do something with this because it changes everything. You and I both didn't take action when we should have. And it made business building hard in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. An email list, names and emails that you get to promote to and you get to engage with every single week, is the most important asset you can have in your business. Now, you might say, no. Social media is the most important asset. If you use social media alone without an email list, you are building your business on rented land.
Yeah.
Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk can change that algorithm and boom, what was working for you today is absolutely not working for you tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so building your business with just social media is a very big mistake you do not want to make. You want to use your social media to move them over to your email list so that you can promote and add insight and cultivate relationships. I literally can send an email today with a very simple offer. And I can promise you I can make $20,000 by tonight. I have no doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
And this is not just me. It's the power of an email and Anybody can build an email list. You don't need hundreds of thousands of people on your email list to make great money. One of my students had 100 people on his email list, created his first digital course, and made $12,000. So I can promise you, it's not the size, it's the quality of the list. And to get started, what you need to do is set up an email service provider. ConvertKit is my favorite, but there's tons of them. Lots of them you can start out for free until you grow your list a little bit bigger. Mm-hmm. You also need a lead magnet, a freebie. That means a cheat sheet, a checklist, a guide, something really simple, a 10-minute audio, a 10-minute video, a value that people want and they're willing to give their name and email in exchange for it. Mm-hmm. Even before you're ready to sell anything, if you're posting on social media, create a lead magnet and offer it. Mm-hmm. I don't love, hey, sign up for my newsletter. I love, hey, I've got this great cheat sheet. And when you grab it, you'll hear from me weekly and I'll give you insight and tips or whatever. Give them something that they get to sink their teeth into right away. And that's the best kind of way to grow your email list. These are very just simple ways to get started. But I'm going to tell you, most people won't do it. But guess who will? Your competitor. It will give your competitor an edge. If you don't have an email list and they do, they're going to smoke you. Yeah. And so why don't you be the person that smokes them?
Well, and think about even like when there's weird glitches with Instagram or like Instagram shut down that one day. It's like you don't have an email list or like a text list or whatever. Like, how are you going to talk to all your people, right?
It's so true. That day, the day that Facebook and Instagram went black, it was like, is the world over? What is happening? All social media, well, Facebook and Instagram totally down. That day, I just coincidentally sent an email to my list, a small portion of my list, and told them about a product that I had had for years, but they hadn't yet bought. I made thousands of dollars on the day that Instagram and Facebook went down. That's the kind of, if you're looking for confidence, that's how you get confidence.
Yeah. Okay. So Amy, tell them real quickly about your podcast and then we're going to talk about your book because to the woman listening into this right now, like if you love tactical business advice and you do want to prioritize, you know, having a list that you actually own rather than just a rented platform, like Amy, you talk so much about this on your podcast. Tell them your podcast.
Okay. It's called Online Marketing Made Easy. And there's a huge focus on email list growth, mindset of an entrepreneur, strategies, funnels, all that good stuff. Yeah. And so it's where you can get literally some of my step-by-step guidance.
Yeah. And it's like you're a teacher style. Like you can just map this out in a very simple, digestible way because we have a lot of women that listen into the show that can get really distracted by shiny object syndrome and just like go all over the place. You're like, okay, bring it in. Step one, two, three, four. So that's amazing. Now, my thing I'm most excited about, obviously your podcast is incredible, but your book. So number one, I want to know why you decided to write this book and who you're envisioning, like the person that you're most excited to have grab this book and tell, give us the juice.
Okay. So again, I wrote the book because I know that there are women out there that literally don't even realize there's a whole other life waiting for you on the other side of fear. Yeah. And so I want to give them the guidebook step by step by step, how you first leave that job if you need some courage to do so, and then how you start the business. And I think what makes this book really unique is that I did my research before I wrote it. And there are very few business books written by women. And the ones that are any business book, very few you walk you through a step-by-step how to get started kind of plan. Yeah. And so I wanted to get more tactical because this is not the stuff that we learn in school. And most of us have no idea what we're doing when we first start out. So that's why I made it more of a guidebook. And in the pages of this book, you'll find a resource, a URL that you can go to that's going to give you so much more to start a business, like the templates, the scripts, the step-by-step guides. I've got a place online for that. It's in the book. You'll get that URL.
Oh, and it's a way for people to get, like, nobody can say that they don't have the information in this day and age. It's like you can buy a book like this for like $25 and give you all of this information. It's 2023. It's not a lack of resources. It's a lack of resourcefulness at this point. Yeah. Because like you literally, like Amy, you are now the person who wrote the book on this. Like, isn't that wild?
It is so wild. Like I look at the book, it came in the mail. I like actually physically got to see this book and I thought, I can't believe this is here, but I am ready for it. And I have to tell you, launching a book is very vulnerable. Like, I feel like I'm standing naked in front of everyone saying, like, judge me, because people are going to review it. They're going to talk about it. I have to ask people, like, go buy the book. And it's just a weird feeling. But all of the uncomfortable feelings of putting myself out there like that, I know are absolutely necessary to do the work I'm meant to do. And so I think that's another lesson. The more uncomfortable you get, the more you grow. And so here I am 14 years in, still super uncomfortable doing things that make me want to come out of my skin, but I know it's for a good reason and I know I'll grow. So if I can still be doing it after all these years, I want to encourage anyone to get started, get uncomfortable so that you can grow.
And also, I want to just plug the fact that it's really helpful for authors if you pre-order the book.
Thank you.
The book comes out on February 21st. It's called 2 Weeks Notice. Find the courage to quit your job, make more money, work where you want, and change the world. I mean, come on. We all want all of those
things. We all want that.
So if you're listening to this episode in real time, go pre-order it. So it literally shows up at your house on February 21st and you can start it then. And also, people often don't know that pre-orders then tell stores how many copies of the books to purchase, which is really helpful because we want everybody to have access to this because it's our responsibility as women to help other women get this knowledge in their hands, especially a business book that's tactical, written by a woman. I'm happy to do that on a testimonial video on your website.
But okay. That was incredible.
But seriously, I just think it's really important. So, okay, to close this all up in a bow, I would love if you could just speak to the woman who right now is a big dreamer, like you and I were when we both first started our podcast and our business and all of that. But there's a big distance between where she is now and where she wants to go. And she's feeling a little bit of the overwhelm or the how in the world am I ever going to get there? Like, she's got this feeling in her. It's like, I know I'm meant to do this thing, but I'm freaking the F out because it feels like it's so far away. Yes. What would you say to her?
I would say to her that you do not need to have this all figured out. In my early days, I looked at my husband and said, I can't figure this out. I don't know all the stuff. This is really overwhelming. And he reminded me, you don't need to have it all figured out. You just need one foot in front of the other. You just need to get started. You have everything inside you to figure this out. You need to be resourceful, but you don't need to have all the answers. You need to feel inspired by your why, but you don't know how it's all going to shake out. All you need to do is get started, knowing that you're going to do it so imperfectly, but you're going to do it. You have everything inside you just to get started, and that's all you need to do.
Amy, I love you. Thank
you. I love you.
Seriously.
This has been so fun. I have to give you a compliment before I want this on the record. One thing I love about you is your interview style is very engaging. It's you like literally take what I say and then you make it mean something for your audience. That is very rare. So this
Thank
was
you.
Very special interview. Thank you for that.
Thank you. I appreciate you so much. And of course, if this episode was helpful for you, tag us on Instagram. I love to personally thank people that are listening into the show and let's get this book, get it in your hands. Let us know what you think. And thank you again so much, Amy. I appreciate
thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you love this episode, it would mean so much to me if you shared it with a girlfriend. Like, send it to her right now. Or post it on social media and tag me so I can personally thank you for helping me get the message out. I am so freaking grateful to be on this journey with you, girl. So until next time, I'll talk to you soon.